Well, good morning. First impressions, we all have them. I like to pride myself on the fact that mine are often incorrect. Take, for example, my first impression of being in a women's Bible study. I was newly married and at the time attending a smaller church, and I had been encouraged to join the Bible study. I went to the first study dragging my feet a bit. As I entered the home of the woman hosting, a few things struck me right away. I was the youngest by about 20 years. The home was nice and had an intimate feel, and the hostess was not a coffee drinker. How did I know this? She was serving tea, and only tea. I shrugged it off. I could handle drinking tea for one evening. I filled up my mug with hot water, proudly dropped in my tea bag. And I say proudly because the last experience I had had with a tea bag was when I worked at Starbucks and had made a batch of tea by ripping open the bag and dumping it in. Yes, things were going well. I chose a chair in the corner of the cozy room, which was furnished with this gorgeous oriental rug and vintage photographs peppering the wall. Sat down. "Let's pray," said the leader. And as I bowed my head, my leg suddenly kicked out, knocking over my entire mug filled with tea all over the rug. Well, every woman in the room jumped up to help clean up the mess, and I sat there bright red and vowing inside to never do a women's Bible study again. My first impression was rough. Thankfully for me, I did go back to that study, and I started the Bible study here at College Church when my child Isabel was a newborn. Isabel is now 8 years old. And I haven't missed a year of study. Why is that? It's because I love it and I need it. Studying the Word of God with other women has had the hugest impact on my faith. I've fallen more in love with God's Word as I continue to see year after year how it so aptly applies to everything. I've had my love for all of you grow, my dear sisters in the faith. When I look out at your faces, I have seen women who have shown me how to be lovers of God, how to persevere, holding tight to God's promises through really, really hard things. I see women making the choice each week to study and know God's word during seasons of life that are packed full and chaotic because you know God's word is life. I thank the Lord for you, and I know that the woman I am today in the Lord has much to do with you. So thank you. It's always hard for me when Bible study comes to an end. There's countless truths I want to hold on to and areas I need to grow. It feels like I'm not ready to leave yet. Ephesians, 6 chapters, but my oh my, is there a lot packed in there. Reading Ephesians reminds me of Mary Poppins and her carpet bag. Do you remember that scene from the movie? Mary places this rather small bag on a table and then out she begins to pull things. Shoes, clothing, a lamp, a plant. The bag, though tiny, seems to have no end to what is inside. Studying Ephesians together has felt a bit like that. Small book, endless encouragements and charges for us believers. This morning, we are going to look one more time at this beautiful book and consider what we need to mature in Him. The only way to start is by looking first to the one who has qualified us, giving us everything we need to live a life worthy of him. How has God qualified us? Before he even made the world, God's loving plan was for Christ to die for our sins. It is the only way we can have a relationship with our holy God. Friends, if God did not purchase our freedom through the blood of Jesus, we would still be doomed forever. Because of our many sins. And if you do not believe that Christ died in your place and was raised to life, then you will face God's judgment. But if you believe Christ died for you, everything changes, especially who you are. Ephesians 4:24 tells us, "You must display a new nature because you are a new person, created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true." Ladies, our new nature matters because God, in his grace, wants us to reflect his glory. For as it says, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. That verse excites me. So let's get busy. Ephesians is filled with calls to action. Follow after, put off, put on, rebuke, expose, bear with, sing, give thanks, submit, work hard. This pursuit of maturity in Christ is active. God is active, and we must be active. I love how Laurel articulated this truth in her teaching. She said, "The change is all God's doing. The pursuit is ours." How are you doing in your pursuit? First, check yourself. Recently, I went through a bit of a rough patch with my youngest. Eliza is one, relatively stubborn, has the dramatic flair of her mother, and at the time had a cold as well as was getting four teeth. Rough patch indeed. During the week when all of this was happening, many of my prayers were filled with requests. I prayed that the Lord would please help her feel better, help her sleep more, help her not cry for huge chunks of time because I was struggling to not sin. One afternoon, God convicted me. I was praying for the wrong thing. Of course, God could do any of the things I asked. He is God. Instead of praying for God to change my circumstances, I started praying that God would grow my self-control, an area I was clearly lacking in. And as my perspective changed, I began looking at the days that followed as a boot camp for my soul's growth. As the frustrating moments came, I was more aware that I could choose how I would react. I could respond with my old nature, as I had been doing, or I could press into Christ's power and respond with my new nature. Ladies, I know that sounds so simple, and it is, but the impact was profound. These are the ways God matures us. How often do we ask God, "Lord, where do I need to mature in you?" It's a practical question. It's a question we should ask ourselves all the time, and it's a question God wants to answer. The truth is, until the amazing day when we get to see Jesus face to face, there will always be areas of growth needed in our lives. This is why our gracious Father has given us every tool we need to do just that. God gives us his word and his spirit as the tools to honestly evaluate where we need to grow. Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you his light. His word tells us when his light shines, it both exposes evil and shows us what is good, right, and true. Throughout this year, God's light has been shining in each of us as we've studied his word. This summer, let's keep reading the Bible, letting God's light shine into our lives. Something that helps me is having a note card nearby when I read. I jot down the things his word is revealing as needing growth. I can read a passage and feel so encouraged and convicted, but a few hours later, it is no longer in the forefront of my mind. I want to take this call to maturity seriously. And writing down scripture, along with the areas I sin and battle, helps me to be intentional. Write the verses revealing sin in your heart and use them as a prayer, asking God in his great power to transform. He wants to mature us. That's the good news. Perhaps the idea of writing down your sin, naming it, and thinking on it sounds extreme. Abby, you say, "The Lord will convict me of my sin. I don't need to go looking for it." And yes, God is so gracious, and he does use his Holy Spirit to reveal our sin. But as Joanna reminded us last week, we are in a battle. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. So, use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil. This enemy, who is against God and against us, is fighting us. And as any opponent would do, he attacks where we are weak and vulnerable. That's why we need to use every piece of God's armor. We must take action. Imagine you've decided to run a marathon. For some of us, imagining that is a little harder than for others. 26.2 miles. You go to a personal trainer and explain you are in no shape to run. You can barely climb a few steps without being entirely winded. So you would like some help to prepare for it. Sounds reasonable, right? Till you add one thing. In preparing for it, you do not want to run at all. Sounds quite ridiculous, doesn't it? But don't we sometimes do that with God? I do. Oh, Lord, help me be a woman that lives by your word, but make a daily habit of reading the Bible. Lord, I have four children. I can't do that. In order for us to mature, we'll need to stop making excuses for our sin and lack of discipline. My husband Nate and I love to watch murder mysteries. Agatha Christie's Poirot is our all-time favorite series. So when we had finished it, we started looking for a new show to watch. We were thrilled when we found one that was engaging, well-written, and available on Hulu. A few episodes in, we were caught off guard by a somewhat sensual scene. We tried to jump ahead in the episode, commenting on how blue, out of the blue, it had come. But when the next episode became available the following week, I was ready to watch it. My husband had a different thought. No, Abby, let's not watch it. I don't want to see that stuff. Embarrassingly, I argued. I don't want to watch that stuff either, but it's only happened once. I don't think it's going to happen every single episode. He replied, it's just not worth it. He was right. Do I think seeing a single inappropriate scene would derail my faith? No. But do I think it's honoring to the Lord? No. Nate's words, it's just not worth it, echo words of scripture we've read together. For though your hearts were once full of darkness, now you are full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it. As we grow in Christ, things will have to change, and we must be willing to change. Ephesians has already shown us areas that need to change, and it's no surprise to me that Paul focuses in on our speech. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. We live in a day where there's little accountability for our words. We shrug it off by saying, I'm just being honest. My boss is such a jerk. I'm just being honest. My kids are total nightmares. I'm just being honest. Trust me, sisters, I understand the struggle of the tongue, and many times my pleas of repentance have to do with it. I want to grow in this area. Don't you? The language of this verse, let everything you say be good and helpful. Does that mean only using positive words at the expense of honesty? Well, no. Actually, falsehood of any kind is something we're told to put away. So what does it mean? In a research conversation, one of my friends was sharing honestly about some hard things going on in her life. Raising her children while her husband was traveling had been especially taxing on her, both physically and emotionally. She didn't articulate this reality through rose-colored glasses or in a false, upbeat manner, but I left our conversation spurred on in my faith. Why? Because her words had made God big. She did speak of her needs, but she also spoke of how God was there to help her in everyday needs. Friends, none of us have a perfect life, but we have a perfect God who loves us and helps us. We need to raise him up in our words. For when we make God big, our conversations will be good, helpful, and encouraging to all who are listening. Let's be women whose words magnify our great God. I say all these things, knowing full well our battle against sin can be hard and discouraging. In this glorious pursuit, there will be times when we find ourselves knocked on our back by the enemy. But God is for us, and therefore we will never be defeated by sin. For Christ has already won that battle for us. And that truth, more than anything, is able to nourish and encourage our souls daily. In closing, I want to share with you an entry from my journal from a few months back. It's personal, it's intimate. I certainly did not write it with the intent of sharing it with a room full of women. But my hope is to encourage you, for even as we press on to maturity in him, there will be times we feel weak. Let's hold fast to Christ and to every spiritual blessing he has given us. I want to run away. I feel underappreciated and overworked. I go and go and go and then burn out. I feel alone. I want to honor the Lord but am spent. How can this be the life he wants for his children? I don't know what I'm lacking, but it feels like nothing adds up. I want maturity, but it just seems like this isn't what I signed up for. I waffle back and forth between a passion that promotes self and a passion that promotes Christ. And spiritual maturity feels 1,000 miles away, but oh, how I want that sweet intimacy with Jesus. The song lyrics, I'm so small and frail and weak, and now all I know is grace, make me cry because the truth of them. I know the ugly, the selfishness that pushes me before others and feels like it will never be tamed. The brutality of the cross never shocks me because I know my sin. The cross is what it deserves. But Christ is the one who took my sin to the cross, not me. He saw the big picture every time and was willing to die for it. Not me. I cling to the little picture, the close-up of myself. What makes me refreshed? What makes me feel like a good mom? What needs does the church meet for me? I beg the little picture for others too. Not her, Lord Jesus, not cancer. She's so faithfully devoted to you. And yet here I am, being built up spiritually because of her great faith in you, Lord. Many times we're told we see ourselves as the victors in Bible stories, the faithful. But I know me too well. I am Peter, bravely climbing out of the boat and then crying out in fear as I sink in the waves. I am Thomas, demanding proof for myself that my Savior did indeed rise. I am the Israelites, growing so impatient at the base of the mountain that praising an idol I have created myself makes sense. How foolish am I? But that line, now all I know is grace, it's true. Because there is Jesus grabbing Peter's hand, grabbing my hand so the waves cannot swallow me. There is Jesus putting out his nail-pierced hand for Thomas to touch and believe, for me to touch and believe. There is God making a new covenant with the Israelites, one that depends on him, not on them, not on me, because my heart is prone to wander. This is my Jesus. This is my God. Praise him. Sisters, let's continue to do all we can to mature more into Christ, building up his body, the church, until he returns and brings us home. And take heart, for he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And I'll see you back here next September.